You know, I've heard this quote for years, and it's really important. I want everybody to listen, everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic. I've heard this quote for years. It says here on this Mission Emphasis Sunday, this statement, this quote, "You are either a missionary or a mission field." You are either a missionary or a mission field. You know, there's a lot of truth in that statement. If we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, God has commissioned us to be a missionary wherever we are. That's a good place for an amen. Let me say that again. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, God has commissioned you and me as a born-again believer to be a missionary wherever I might be planted. So if God has not called you as a Christian somewhere else, just be the best missionary you can be. You can be a missionary to your family. You can be a missionary to your co-workers. You can be a missionary to your classmates or your neighbors, really to all the folks that you encounter every day. Can I tell you something? God did not place you in the life that you're now living, surrounded with the people that you are, as a Christian, just by accident. You know, God said, whoa, whoops, what in the world happened? How in the world did they get in that situation? How in the world did they get a job there? Or how in the world did they end up moving to that neighborhood? Or how in the world did they end up in that family? I'm telling you, God puts you in those situations to be a missionary for the Lord. Now, again, you may not be called to be a full-time vocational missionary, as many are. I think a lot more are called to full-time mission work, like maybe overseas, maybe in certain parts of our country, then actually say, yes, I'll do it. But I realize that God doesn't call all of us to be vocational, full-time missionaries, but I sincerely believe with all of my heart that if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, He has called you to be a missionary wherever you are. And we're going to look today in Scripture. I have quite a bit to say, so I'll try to talk fast, okay? Since it's Mission Emphasis Sunday, I kind of figured that I better get the whole sermon on missions out. So I'm going to try to do that today. And you listen, just grab hold of whatever God has for you today. Now, the title of the message is The Work of Missions. The Work of Missions. In Acts chapter 12, verse 24, as some of you are turning there, Acts chapter 12, verse 24. I want to read a quote from Henry Martin. He was a missionary to India and Persia. This is years back, from 1781 to 1812. And if you do the math, the man only lived to be 31 years old. They say that he was one that really did burn out for Jesus. I mean, he was so at the task of missions there in India and Persia that his health gave way and he died at the age of 31. But listen to what he says. He said this, "The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions." The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. And the nearer we get to Him, the more intensely missionary we must become. I'll say it one more time. The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. And the nearer we get to Him, to Christ that is, the more intensely missionary we must become. In Acts chapter 12, we're going to look at this passage under the title of the message, The Work of Missions. And let me tell you, it primarily will involve Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. Do you realize that they were the first New Testament missionaries commissioned and sent out by the local church? The first New Testament missionaries commissioned and sent out by the local church. And we're going to be looking at this passage. It's really a few verses, The Work of Missions. Look at chapter 12, verse 24. It says, "But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul," later to be Paul, "returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch, that's a local church at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers. Certain prophets. At that point, the gift of prophecy was still active, all right? And it was a foretelling of the future at times, because God told them what would happen. And it was a foretelling of truth. And it says there were teachers and these prophets, the teachers who taught what God had taught them, used the scriptures that they had. The Old Testament scriptures were teaching there in the church. And they had prophets that were saying, hey, you really need to straighten up and fly right. You really need to do this. And you really need to do this. And it says, and it gives their name. It says, as Barnabas. Why Barnabas? Well, Barnabas come from the head church, if you will, the mother church, if you will, at Jerusalem. And he's the leader of the group on this first missionary journey with which Paul and Barnabas are about ready to embark. So he's mentioned first. He's from Cyprus. And it says, and Simeon that was called Niger. Now, some think that Simeon may have been from Africa, because Niger means black, and therefore his skin, his complexion was probably black, so he could have been from Africa, some people surmise. And Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. So one of them had been brought up, maybe friend, relation, something to Herod, the Herod who had John the Baptist beheaded. And it says, and Saul. Now, it's kind of interesting that Saul or Paul is the last one mentioned, isn't it? Well, he hadn't taken the leadership yet that he would assume later. He was serving the Lord absolutely. It says, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Remember where Barnabas was from? Cyprus. And it says they continued on with that first missionary journey. But we're going to stop right there. But what can we learn about the works of mission just from these few verses? Point number one, under the work of missions, the work of missions is the spreading of God's word. Is the spreading of God's word. Now, I know there's a lot of ways that you can define missions, right? I'm sure that probably in the textbooks that Jason's have studied, there's probably a lot of very educated people that have come up with a really good definition of missions. But you know, really a pretty good one is simply the spreading of the word of God. Did you notice up in verse 24, it says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. What is that saying? It says the word of God grew or spread and multiplied in people's hearts and in people's lives. And when we say the Word of God, what's contained in the Word of God? You know, every page, as they say, points to Jesus, right? And as part of this book, isn't the gospel included? So really, the work of missions is the spreading of God's Word. So when we share Jesus and the gospel, we are indeed spreading the word of God. Y'all agree with that? Say, uh-huh. You're awful quiet. Next time, don't let Connie go over there. Connie has to stay over here because she's part of the Amen Corner, okay? Some other lady that will have to go over that's very quiet, but we need Connie's amens, all right? So Larry, you got to do a little bit better. Jason, step it up a bit, okay? But the work of missions is the spreading of God's word. Can I tell you, this is a very spiritual thing I'm going to share with you. I really like peanut butter. How many of you like peanut butter? If I start to get a little bit famished, I'll take a spoon. And let me tell you, to me, Jif is king. Jif is the best, peanut butter. Now, I can live with Kroger, I can live with Food Lion brand and some of the other, but I grew up in a Jif family, okay? So when I get hungry, I'll get a spoon and just dip it in there, and it can be, you know, it doesn't have to be confined to that little spoon. It can, you know, peanut butter sticks together. So you can get a big old glob of peanut butter, and I enjoy eating that peanut butter. And when I put it on a sandwich, I'm not one of these people that's going to, real thin, real thin. I like spreading it real thick. How about you? And really, almost to me, the thicker the better. You know, really, that's what we got to do with the Word of God. We got to spread the Word thick. And we got to take every opportunity we get to spread the Word of God in Clarksburg. Y'all agree with that? You see, the work of missions is the spreading of God's Word. Secondly, the work of mission begins with faithful service. The work of missions begins with faithful service. Now notice when it mentions they're here that the church at Antioch, this local church at Antioch, it mentions these people. Notice what it says, that as they ministered to the Lord, as they ministered to the Lord. Now that's speaking of all of them, right? That's Barnabas and that's Simeon and that's Lucius and that's Manaen and that's Saul. They were faithfully serving God. And you know what? The work of missions is not going to prosper. Even our work as local missionaries, if you will not be as blessed as they could be, will not be as prosperous as they could be if we're not faithfully serving the Lord. You see, they were involved in their local church. I think at that point when they started ministering there in the local church, you know, I love the local church. I don't know what I would do without the local church. The local church is such a blessing. You know, if we just take advantage of it and say, you know what, I'm going to be a part of that. I want to get in there with both feet. I want to do everything I can to benefit the local church for the cause of Christ. And these guys got right in there, were ministering. And I don't think Paul, I'm going to call him Paul instead of Saul. I would get real confused if I said Saul and Paul, Paul and Saul. So I'm just going to call him Paul, okay? So Paul didn't just minister and think, well, I'm going to be called on the first missionary journey. No, he was faithful to God in the local church, and God called him out. Him and Barnabas both. You know, I've heard of people that sometimes say, and I've seen it, you know, I want to do great things for God. But I can't come to church. You kidding me? And I sometimes talk to even music groups and people. I say, what exactly is your home church? Oh, well, we're gone all the time. In other words, bottom line, they're not part of a local church. You know, I choose to be part of a local church and let ministry flow out of the local church. There's nothing wrong with being part of a gospel group. There's definitely nothing wrong with being a missionary. There's nothing, but ministry should center out of service and faithfulness in the local church. You know, people want to do great things for God. I want to go around the world. I want to be a missionary to those huts way out in Africa. I want to go out there and I want to reach the unlocked. That's a great motivation. But if you can't be faithful in the local church, how in the world are you going to be faithful around the world? The work of missions begins with faithful service. You know, you might say it's a foundation of service, your faithfulness to the local church, right? You know, at Amy's dad's house, Joe's, there's meadows around, and one of the meadows has a path that we mow. It's three mower decks wide, more or less. And when it rains a little bit, or maybe kind of medium to a lot, there's certain parts of that path up the meadow that gets real soggy. Now, wouldn't it be goofy for me to say, you know what, we need a storage shed. I think I'll build that storage shed right there on the ground, right where it's mushy, without any foundation. You say, preacher, that'd be kind of goofy. Well, I'm sure I've done goofier. But, you know, you'd put the tractor in there maybe, or stand in one corner and go like this. And then it would probably, you know, the thing wouldn't be solid at all. The same thing with a missionary who wants to do great things for God but can't start by serving in the local church. There's a problem. And you say, even as individual missionaries locally here, you say, I just don't understand it. I can't get anybody to come to church. Well, are you coming to church? It's pretty embarrassing. Sometimes people invite people and they come to church and then the person invited them ain't here. It's like, whoa, what's going on? We got to be faithful. The work of missions is the spreading of God's word. The work of missions begins with faithful service. Number three, the work of missions is powered by prayer. The work of missions is powered by prayer. Look at verse 2. This is where God tells them to separate out and gives them guidance and direction. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted in verse 2. These five fellas ministered to the Lord and they fasted. Now, fasting is always connected with prayer. And God said, all right, separate Paul and Barnabas. I got work for him to do. And then you go down to verse 3. It says, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. They sent them away. You know, here you have that ordination or that recognition that God has called you. You see, the work of missions is powered by prayer. If you have little prayer, you got little power. If you got little prayer, you got little blessing. If you got little prayer, you got little fruit for your service to God. You know what we need to do as a church is we try to minister to people and be missionaries as individuals and as a church right here in this local area. If God is not calling you somewhere else, we got to bathe it in prayer. Really, we got to pray about it. The power comes from God. You know, if we try to move forward and be missionaries on our own strength, we're going to miserably fail. But we need to call upon God and say, God, we need your power. We need your help. We need your direction. We need your Holy Spirit working in the lives of people so they're convicted by the Holy Spirit and they trust Jesus as Savior. You see, if we know Jesus, we're missionaries. We should bathe our mission work as we encounter these people every day with prayer. How many of y'all remember the Flintstones? Remember the Flintstones? Remember the power in their car? It was foot power, right? They just you know, show their legs like this going. You know, I don't know. To me, that would be pretty tough. Because you see those great big old, like, wheels or roller on the front and the back, right? They're made out of stone. And that's basically what we try to do when we try to do mission work, try to talk to people about Jesus without the power of God. But we were in Chattanooga. I think it was an air show in Chattanooga when we lived down there. They had a jet engine they put on a semi. And they put this, and it was on the runway there at the airport in Chattanooga. And they cranked up that jet engine, you know, like massively loud. And then they flipped a switch or whatever on that jet, and you saw this semi going, like 300 miles an hour, I think is what they said that thing would go. We need the power of God obtained through prayer if we're going to do mission work that's blessed and fruitful for the Lord. You see, the work of missions, first of all, the work of missions is a spreading of God's word. It begins with faithful service. It's powered by prayer. Fourthly, it involves listening to the Holy Spirit. It involves listening to the Holy Spirit. Notice in verse 2, it says, they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Do you notice that? Verse 4, so they, who is this? Paul and Barnabas, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, they were directed to go where the Holy Ghost wanted them to go. You see, whether we're, if you will, local missionaries, and you say, well, I don't feel the vocational full-time call to be a missionary, but I realize I'm supposed to be a missionary right where I'm at, you still need to listen to the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit inside of us, we're not supposed to keep the good news of the gospel to ourselves, right? We're supposed to. So if we're listening to the Holy Spirit in accordance with the Word of God, we know that we should be telling people about Jesus, right? But then a lot of times the Holy Spirit, I've done this before. I've like encountered someone and I go back to the car, you know, like maybe talk to them at Burger King about putting a sign up or something. Just for instance, let's say, put one of our church signs. And I go back to the car and the Holy Spirit's saying, you forgot something. I forgot to give them a gospel tract. Now, I may not be able to preach them a full-length sermon, but I can give them a gospel tract. And what told me to go back to do that? The Holy Spirit. And see, we got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Whether we're local missionaries or wherever God might call us to be, we got to listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is real. I'd love to have the Holy Spirit text me what it wanted. But the Holy Spirit is that still small voice inside of you that says, hey, and we need to listen. We need to listen to that Holy Spirit. You know, when I preach messages about being a missionary or being a witness for the Lord, and I say, now, who are you thinking of right now that needs the gospel? Who needs to be saved? That Holy Spirit brings that person to your mind. And then as far as even full-time vocational missions, when God calls you, you got to listen. Like, God, where do you want me to be? Where do you want me to go to school? Who do you want me to marry? What mission board do you want me to go through? Things like that. We've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit knows a whole lot more than we do. You know, I have what's called tinnitus, you know, the ringing in the ears. And mine's not too horrible. I mean, at times it's worse than others. But I can still hear. You know, I can still hear pretty good. I can hear the foreground noise pretty well, but I got this little ringing in my ear. But you know what I think happens to a lot of people? They get worldly tinnitus. You know, the ringing of the world's voice is so loud in their ear, they stop listening to the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, the Holy Ghost wants to be part of your life. We've almost let the charismatic scare us so much, we don't even talk about the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is real. You got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when you got saved, that Holy Spirit come to live within you to guide you, comfort, direct, help you along. We've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. The work of missions depends upon us listening to the Holy Spirit and what He wants us to do. The work of missions is the spreading of God's Word. It begins with faithful service. It's powered by prayer. It involves listening to the Holy Spirit. The work of missions is also a calling. A calling. Notice what it says in chapter 13 and verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Do you know God does call vocational full-time missionaries? Y'all agree with that? I'm thankful for those folks. Let me tell you, there's a whole lot less American missionaries than what there used to be. And I don't think it's because God is not calling. I think it's because we're not listening. But you know, God's got a calling for every one of us, doesn't He? You know, in Matthew, I'm going to look at this passage, Matthew 9, 36, 37, and 38. Matthew 9, 36, 37, and 38. Notice what it says. But when he saw the multitude, that's Jesus, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, now listen, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the what? The laborers are few. And then it says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, that's something we should be praying, that God will raise up more preachers, more missionaries, more evangelists, more laborers in the harvest that's already ripe and ready. And you see, it's a calling to do that. Now, that's the specific full-time vocational missionary call. And I would not give you a nickel for a missionary who could not tell me by looking me in the eyes and say, God called me to be a missionary. Really? It's a serious calling. But you know what? As we're talking about even local mission, you know, hasn't God called us to be missionaries? Well, what about to the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20? Notice this. I believe this is to every Christian. We call it the Great Commission. Because it comes from God, right? Jesus Christ himself says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go, do you catch that? Go ye therefore, and what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You see, we're all, in a sense, called to be a missionary where we are. Paul and Barnabas were called out as vocational, if you will, full-time missionaries. And we have the responsibility to reach the world. You know, I've run across some people in my life that they're like, I think we should support local missions. I'm like, yeah, I'm with you. Ministries that may be here in Clarksburg, absolutely. That's a good thing to do, right? Like the radio station that we listen to in Clarksburg. I mean, that's a good thing, don't you think? But I always, it's almost like they're dogmatic, you know, that I don't want to support anything out of local. But let me tell you, mission work is not only local, it's also global. And it's our responsibility if we take the Great Commission seriously. And that's where our part, even though I might be a local missionary where I'm at, I'm going to support missions wherever people go. I'm going to support missionaries that believe like I do. And I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to pray for them. Because missions are the very heart of God. Really. What about Acts chapter 1 verse 8? This kind of includes all of us. Listen to this. Jesus, to his disciples, and I believe an extension to us. It is a principle that applies to us. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, where? Unto me both in Jerusalem. Isn't that local? Right where you're at, right? And it says, and in all Judea, draw the circle a little bit bigger. And it says, and in Samaria, draw the circle bigger. And unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know, our responsibility is local and extends all the way to global. The work of missions is a calling. You know, sometimes now with all of our modern technology, we get a phone call and it might say potential spam. Right? Sometimes it says that. Sometimes it might say unknown, and then sometimes it just has the name of a city in whatever state it might be, and you're like, eh, what do you not? Most times you don't answer those, right? You're like, that's a junk call, that's a telemarketer, you just don't answer. I'm concerned that we as Christians, we're doing the same thing to God. That God is calling sometimes, we're like, oh, it's just God. I'll get it later maybe. They'll call back, they'll leave a message, you know, whatever. We got to listen to the calling of God. The work of missions is spreading the word of God. The work of mission begins with faithful service. The work of missions is powered by prayer. The work of missions involves listening to the Holy Spirit. The work of missions is a calling. Number six, the work of missions is a function of the local church. The work of missions is a function of the local church. You notice in verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch. Local church. Oakmount has a responsibility of missions. With local outreaches. Don't you agree? We got Vacation Bible School. Why do we do Vacation Bible School? Because we all want to sing these songs and do the hand motions, get a good snack. No, that's fine. We all want to work together. That's fine. But you know, the ultimate goal of Vacation Bible School is to be a missionary to our community. To tell them about Jesus. Why do we do the fireworks outreach? To be a missionary for Jesus. Missions is a function of the local church. You know, the missionary, let's say a full-time vocational missionary as well, you know, kind of crossing into that area, they're not sent by themselves, you know. They're not even sent by a mission board. Ultimately, they're sent by God through the local church. I've received two emails here probably in the last 2 or 3 months from two different missionaries. And one of them, I could tell, I read, you know, what mission board they were through, and I read it, and we would disagree with them doctrinally. And I noticed in that letter that there was nothing about a local church. And I'm like, So I emailed them back and said, I don't think we agree doctrinally, so we probably won't support you, but I wish you well. I hope things go well. And by the way, what is your local church? But the other one, more like-minded, like probably agrees with us on most things, if not all things. And first and foremost, you know, my sending church is, my home church is, right? And that's the way it ought to be, because the local church is responsible for missions. The work of missions is spreading God's word, begins with faithful service, is powered by prayer, involves listening to the Holy Spirit, is a calling, is a function of the local church. And the work of missions uses people seen as called and faithful. You know, we witness here an ordination service. What are they doing? They're putting their hands on Paul and Barnabas, if you will, laid their hands on them, it says, after they had fasted and prayed, and sent them away. You know what they were doing? They were recognizing that this person is called by God and is faithful to do what God has called them to do. That's important, don't you think? I mean, it's important. You know, I know one of the churches I pastored down in Williamstown, one of the things, and it's a rightful thing to be happy about, there was like 22 people called out of that church who were either pastors or missionaries. That's pretty good. You know, if God continues to call Jason into missions and he ends up in the huts of Africa, wherever that might be, or wherever God calls him in missions, again, I've told our people, missions is a very broad spectrum. I mean, you can plant a church out west because the Lord knows they need them out there. You can work in so many different ways. You can minister to different people groups, even within cities of America, because they've come to us. So there's a lot of ways missions. But Jason, if God continues to work and direct him in that area as a missions major and calls him to missions to be on a foreign field somewhere or in America somewhere or here somewhere, I don't know. That's great. Ryan in the ministry preaching as well. And I know that to other people, I've heard other people say, you know, this one came out of this church and that one came out of this church and this one came out. Praise the Lord. Missions is a function of the local church, and the local church recognizes that God has called these people and ordains them and sets them aside, if you will, and says yes. You know, the first step for someone who's called to preach is to be licensed by the church, by the local church. You see, the work of missions uses people seen as called and faithful. We're not a church. We kind of adhere to that. We're not a church that just puts a warm body in a position in our church. You know, right now we're in the midst of this nominating committee thing, and there's some carryover as far as what I'm preaching about for every one of us. We're doing God a disservice, and we're doing that person a disservice when we put just a warm body in a position in our church. We need to recognize and feel that God wants them to be a part of that, and these people are faithful. We put a premium on that. And you see, the church at Antioch did the same thing when they ordained and set apart Paul and Barnabas. One more point. You thought I'd never end up with my points, would you? The work of mission means going out. The work of missions means going out. You say, well, preacher, duh. Of course it does. Notice in this passage, it says in verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them or ordained them, set them aside. They sent them away. Verse 4, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, about 16 miles away or so. Now, it's one thing to say, praise the Lord, we're missionaries. And how many times do you hear Sunday school teachers saying, we need to be more serious about this missionary stuff because we're local missionaries, wherever you are, right? We've heard that time and time and time and time again. Can I tell you that if we went out nearly as much as we hear preaching and teaching about going out, we'd be a whole lot more effective missionaries for the Lord. Now again, do you see the point that we're all missionaries? Just give me a little nod. If you're not sleeping, just give me a little nod. I see that we're all missionaries. We're local missionaries. If God has not called us somewhere, we're missionary right where we are. But I'm thankful that Paul and Barnabas didn't say, yep, Appreciate that. Appreciate you recognizing we're capable to be missionary. Appreciate that laying on of hands and praying and fasting for us. But we're going to sit right here. Because it's comfortable right here. Now, we can use that in a big sense, too. Again, I believe God has called a lot more missionaries, full-time vocational missionaries, out of our churches than what have surrendered. They're like, no, that scares me. I'm comfortable where I'm at. You mean I got to raise support from churches? You mean I have to give up my job? You know, all of these excuses. But we, as local missionaries, that say, well, I know God didn't call me anywhere else. But how much missionary work have you done for the Lord? How many people have you told about the Lord Jesus? You know, how many have ever played fetch with a dog? Fetch, you know, stick, fetch, you know. So you get a stick and you throw it in that dog there and you're like, go get him, boy, right? And usually the dog goes, picks up the stick, brings it back. And you could probably, with some dogs, you could probably play this for several days. Dog would be worn out. You'd be worn out. Your arm socket might be out of joint, your shoulder. But wouldn't it be something if you had a dog, and he was a healthy dog, and you got a stick, and you throw it, and you say, go get him, boy! And the dog just laid there. Now, you'd start thinking something is wrong with this dog, right? You know, I'm not calling us dogs. Don't misunderstand me. And I'm not saying God is throwing a stick, but I am saying God is saying, now go get him, boy, girl, teenager, kid, go tell them about Jesus. And you know what we do? We're like, we just kind of lay there a lot of times. You know? It's important that we not only hear the command from God, but we go do what God wants us to do. The work of missions is the spreading of God's word. The work of missions begins with faithful service. The work of missions is powered by prayer. The work of missions involves listening to the Holy Spirit. The work of missions is a calling. The work of missions is a function of the local church. The work of mission uses people seen as called and faithful. And lastly, the work of mission means going out. You know, I started the message this morning by that quote. It says, you are either a missionary or a mission field. If you know the Lord Jesus, can I say again that you are a missionary right where you are? God placed you right where you are as a missionary to spread the word of God, to share the gospel. Let me ask you, everybody looking right, look at me. How are you doing as a local missionary? How are you doing? You know, I figure Jason is in internship there in West Africa, like Ryan when he was our intern. I had to fill out some paperwork, you know, kind of grade him, you know, how they do. You know, unsatisfactory, satisfactory, you know, good, fair, you know, whatever. But how would God rate you as a missionary? If you're saved, you're a missionary. How would God rate you on that? Would he give you an A+? Would he give you an A? How about an A-? Maybe a B? C? D? F? What grade would God give you as a missionary for the Lord? You know, I don't even know the answer to that. I can't go around and say, well, yeah, you'd get this, you'd get that. But God knows. And we're going to give an account. It's hard for us. I think sometimes we really just don't believe it. But if God's word is true, we're going to give an account of our service to God. And part of that service to God is being a missionary for the Lord. And you know, there might be someone here today. You know, it's kind of gone. You know, it used to be missions are for the young. And that's true. Most missionaries are younger, on the younger spectrum. But you know what? There's certain things you can do, even as an older individual. mission trips, maybe short-term mission trips. Maybe some of you are retirement age and you have a retirement fund and you're doing all right. You can go and help missionaries on the field somewhere. Is God calling you to do that? Or maybe you're sitting there and say, I don't care how old I am. I feel God is calling me to be a full-time vocational missionary. If God is doing that, I'd encourage you. Do business with God. Say, God, you know best. If you're calling me, by golly, I'm going to do it. But lastly, if you're here today and you're lost, according to my quote, you're the mission field. You are the mission field. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus, I make no qualms about it. Our primary goal is to see you trust Jesus as your Savior. If you're here today and you're lost, you're the mission field. We're the missionaries, I'm telling you. You need Jesus. You need to ask the Lord to save you. You need to ask the Lord to forgive you of all your sins. You need to tell God that you confess Jesus as your Savior. Now, that's a commitment. That's a commitment. Don't take it lightly. It needs to be every ounce of your being needs to say, yes, I want to do that. But I'd encourage you. That's why really we're here as a church, is to see the lost get saved.